It's been a long day without you, my friend. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. When I see you again.
The most important thing in life will always be the people in this room, right here, right now. Salute me, familia.
Started out small to a real bond, cause we're brothers first, cause we're been through a lot, but it ain't over. We gon' keep it going.
You'll always be with me.
Change the game without even knowing.
And you'll always be my brother.
How can we not talk about family when family's all that we got? Everything I would do, you were standing there by my side. And now you gon' be there for the last ride.
We're back in your ear holes. That's right. It's been a whole week. What? It's been a whole week. It's been a whole week since we were gone. Yep. If you listen to this way after we've recorded it, it's 1 week later. We are on another episode of The Cast and the Furious.
Yeah, it's time is weird in Fast and Furious. So it's been a week.
Look, we are trying to
actually this episode takes place just after the episode that came out last year, and so now we're fine. Yeah, it's weird. It's out of order, but
we're doing this.
Well, is this set in 2006 or 2015? I can't tell.
Well, Nathan's alive again. He was dead in 2015, but he's alive again. So, we should probably
just
get to this.
Snacking.
I'm Jonathan. This is Murren. This is the Cast of the Furious. We're on chunk three of Furious 7. I almost said Fast 7. That's ridiculous.
Such a chunky chunk.
And our guest today is Nathan Flynn.
Hey, y'all. Family.
Hey, all family.
Family.
Nathan is a podcaster, and you may listen to his other... He does a podcast on Mission Impossible, which is hard to say, but they're like... Originally, they were focused on the TV show, but they kind of go all over, you know.
We go all over the Mission Impossible, Mission and Freaking Sanity of the Mission Impossible franchise.
Yeah.
From like, God, LSD Sugar Cube episodes. We just recorded one where they stage an earthquake. Like, the original Mission Impossible show is bonkers. There are multiple ghost episodes.
Multiple ghosts,
of course, sure.
Of course. And they fight the devil at one point, or pretend they are the devil.
They pretend they are the devil to stop these satanic worshipers. Like the 80s were.
Wow.
Yeah. Back when you could get away with that kind of crap.
I'm pretty sure they played D&D or
Sounds
something.
Sounds like the Star Trek writers and the Mission Impossible writers were just kind of trading scripts and just throwing
I mean,
ideas
they literally shot from the same studios, like oftentimes the hallways, like the hallway of the Enterprise. But yeah, we're talking not Mission Impossible.
But another
Mission in Freaking Sanity.
Another fun quote. Thing about Nathan is he was also going to do a Fast and Furious podcast.
Yes, I was. I still can.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be quarter movie at a time, so why do it?
You can't do it that way. That is taken, but you could do it another way.
That's taken.
No, so early last year, and a lot of this is attributed to my ADD, I'll be like, you know, we should do a podcast on this. If you look at our Patreon page, it's like, okay, we're doing a series on the Cruise movies, which is weird. Just like his entire filmography, because they're strange. And we're doing, pretty soon, we're going to do a Martin Landau one and a Ving Rhames. One Ving to rule them all. Is the title for that one.
Great.
But so me and my friend Davey thought of an idea for a mission, or not Mission Impossible podcast, Mission and Freaking Sanity podcast on Fast and the Furious. And we were just going to go in chronological order and go through them, you know, rotating guests. We were going to try and get interviews for, you know, different people who worked on the series. Oddly enough, like, it's easier to talk to people who work on Mission Impossible than the Fast and Furious franchise. The only person who reached out to us was that guy from Batman Begins and like most of Christopher Nolan's movies, Mark Boone Jr.
Oh, sweet.
It was like, seriously, that's the guy? But yeah, we recorded like the first one or two episodes and we were just like, hey guys, welcome to the Cast and the Furious, because we tried to see whether or not that cleared, because we searched it up, but it said, like, you know, every time we search it up, it would be like the cast of the Fast and the Furious. Yeah. We couldn't find like the podcast until recently.
Yeah, it doesn't
work. I was on a recording with Jonathan, And halfway through, Jonathan like broke all of my dreams and spirits where he was just like, yeah, well, if you like the Fast and Furious franchise, you can watch, you can listen to us on the Cast and the Furious. And I was
it
like,
it happened on air, Murren. He actually like, he actually dies a little on
you
air.
Hear the heartbreak, I'm the heart growing two sizes.
I'm literally
smaller.
Like, wait, did you just say the Cast and the Furious? And then I just like rip up an entire dog. No. Honestly, blessing in disguise, because
you could, Nathan Flynn presents the Cast and the Furious. Mm. Then
yeah,
it
I was
be
debating it. Or two Cast, two Furious, something like that. But it killed me though, because it was a blessing in disguise, because holy shit, Mission Impossible became a lot more work than I expected the more I got into it. And the more we can get interviews for this stuff, and people are like, you know, reaching out to us who were on the show.
You go much further than I ever do. I've never asked any, I rag on way too many people to ever ask anyone on for anything, because they would be like, hey, did you shit on us for like 3 weeks straight? Yeah, I did.
I mean,
sorry.
We talked to one of the last surviving directors of the who I know is not listening to this right now, named Ralph Sinensky, great interviewer. But we like recorded for like 2 hours, and I was talking about his other like TV recordings and stuff. And he was like, seriously, you guys are done with Mission Impossible? And then afterwards, once we were like about to hang up, he was like, what are you guys doing? We talked for 3 hours after that.
Wow.
So it's been strange. A lot of people just are not expecting to be asked about the TV show, which is wild to me.
Well, because they probably shot this, 60 years ago? And are like,
exactly.
No one's talked to them about it?
From the 80s, yeah. That's but awesome. Regardless, we're talking Fast and Furious.
Yes, we are.
We are. There's another name you could use. I believe you have to ask George Hendricks, but the Fast and the Curious.
That's always what I call the second movie.
And there is a Cast in the Furious other podcast out there. They did a whole movie, so they're done. And they have a logo.
They did one and then they gave up.
No, they did one for each movie.
Okay. What's
and
that?
They haven't done them. And they literally came out a week after us. And I think they're why we have 2 bad reviews on iTunes.
Would I appreciate
why else would we have bad reviews? I mean, our show's fantastic.
It's
what
so I've good.
Found myself appreciating about your guys' podcast is going into the nitty gritty with like Better Luck Tomorrow and like Los Bandoleros.
Oh yeah,
that's how far I go in.
Yeah, we're in the oeuvre. We go into the whole. We want all the weird times.
We talked about Southland Tales.
Ugh. I'm just waiting for you guys to do Fast and Furious Spy Racers.
Mm. Yeah, well, we haven't covered that. We have watched some of it.
We live watched that with some of our listeners one night when it came out. We're like, let's watch this.
I worked for another site and we ended up reviewing it. It was just me and one other guy. And, you know, it's not great.
Named Ice Cream Cone or something?
Yeah, something along those lines. I just remember opening up the review by quoting that line that Vin Diesel has about beating man half to death until he's mentally handicapped. And then I'm like, that is the name of one of the central characters of the DreamWorks series, which is crazy. He's in that far more than you would expect.
He's got nothing else going on.
Yeah.
So this is chunk 3 of 7, and not 3 of 7 chunks. Chunk 3 of the.
That'd be weird. We do
as people that are doing like movies 33.3 minutes at a time, whatever that is. I don't even know what that is.
That you do Naked Gun 33 and a third.
No, it's other stuff. Other people doing
other
podcasts.
Things do that. Like a third at a time.
You guys just sunk my other idea for a Fast and Furious podcast. So thanks, guys.
Great. You ruined another one.
Just do it in thirds instead of quarters.
It's minute 71 through 105 for those of you listening at home.
Yeah.
That's chunk.
Or an hour and 45 minutes.
I don't listen that way anymore. I can't convert back.
You just count minutes. You don't do hours. Hours don't exist.
If I do hours, it's an hour and 5 minutes. It's like, nope. So yeah. And this is the bonkers triskelion car fight, which we've all been waiting on. This is the next to last big thing. This is the
Ghost Protocol sequence of the movie.
This is the amuse bouche to the finale when they're back in LA. First, we should say this first, Nathan. Where did you first see your love is obviously documented. You like this movie and you love these movies and they're bonkers and you've rewatched them all recently. Where did this come from? Like, was it a kid thing or was it later on?
Okay, so here's where I'm at with them. So I'm
I don't think this came out when he was a kid. Just guessing. Maybe. This, I don't know.
I wasn't a kid, but not too far off. I am I'm 25 years old. I'm as old as the first Mission Impossible movie. So
he's a child, Myron. He's a child.
I am a child. I am a child. But like the Fast and Furious movies didn't really appeal to me so much when I was growing up. I mean, I was like, let's go see the Grinch with Jim Carrey, because that's what to do in 2001. And I just remember, like, you know, as far as I got into it was the arcade game. I like vaguely liked Vin Diesel and a lot of things. I was really more of a Triple X guy because I'm a big James Bond fan, which oddly enough, this becomes more James Bond than like Triple X ever could, you know. It's the better James Bond movie of the year where Spectre came out. But so I think it was around the fourth one where I jumped in, because I was like, you know, I hear this is a fun matinee. I was watching a lot of movies in 2009, and I watched the original Fast and Furious, because that was like, you know, it was like, okay, well, you can skip Tokyo Drift. You can skip Too Fast, Too Furious, because you don't necessarily need it to go into four. And four is a fun movie. I liked it a lot. I figured that was going to be the end of the franchise, because, you know, that's where we go. But when Fast Five came out, there was just so, you know, weird, like, excitement going around as far as the general buzz. They're like, yo, did they like crack this? Does this work now? And I remember dragging my brother, Logan, who's more like superhero fan, all this, to go see, and he was fucking hating it. The entire idea of doing it, I had him watch all the movies beforehand, which I have like a love for, but in like, these aren't all great, but I like some of the characters. And I mean, I'm sure you guys have probably already mentioned, there is this weird feeling in Fast Five where like you get excited for all these characters coming together from different disparate movies. Like it's a well-crafted, constructed universe that was planned from the get-go.
Even if you didn't really care at all before about Gal Gadot's character in Fast and Furious, like when she comes in, it somehow is like, whoa, this is so cool.
Yeah.
And I think it was that Marvel. I think we had a Marvel thing at that point. We'd all been trained but that a universe is really interesting, and people are like, oh wow, I actually watched that movie that she was in that she's not a character in.
So I'm being rewarded for having seen the other one. Yeah.
What fascinates me the most about Fast Five, though, is it came right before, I would say, Marvel truly started to like go all in on that, because it came before Thor and it came before Captain America, the first Avenger. Iron Man 2 was dinged a lot for setting up previous movies.
Fast Five is 2011, right?
Yeah, 2011.
That's the same
April.
Year as Thor.
Because I remember it took out like the highest grossing April release. It still might be. I don't think so, though. And I just remember like sitting there with my brother, who was like, couldn't be less interested in a Fast and Furious movie. And then there comes that moment where like Dominic Toretto, Hobbs thinks that he's dead. His entire team has been shot up. And then Vin Diesel reaches out his arm for him. And it's like that moment in Predator when they like grab hands and you're just like, he was like, dude, this movie fucking rules. And then the safe scene happens and we're just like, oh, this franchise that we thought was dead, we're down. Like Fast Five has been carrying most of my enthusiasm for the rest of the movies. Six, I was a little bit more mixed on.
But they got seven, a tank.
Yeah. No, don't get me wrong. I like it more now upon rewatch, but you know, sandwiched between five and seven, it was kind of, you know.
Yeah. It's, it has, six has kind of a subdued vibe in comparison. Like more,
seven's
more
one
characters
of my, I think seven's one of my favorites.
Seven's my
definitely.
Favorite.
Is it? Seven is my second favorite.
I think it's because of the music, the dun, 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 dun. Like they really play.
Brian Tyler's killing it. That's what I've really noticed, like going through this franchise again. Like one of the like underrated people. It's almost like when Alan Silvestri came back for Avengers Endgame.
Yeah, you're like,
obviously not to the same level. You're just like, oh shit, the theme to the team isn't like necessarily like one that you can constantly quote, but once it kicks in,
yeah, I can't have sing like it. Any... I can't sing it because I wasn't singing it. That wasn't it. It's that one I'm doing is almost da da da.
It's like dun 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 dun.
The one I'm doing is from Armageddon.
Enough, but it's more that it just like it. The pitch is just what it should be for what's going on screen. It really matches.
Weird, unpopular. Okay, I guess another thing that brought me into this movie is I'm a big James Wan fan.
Oh hell yeah.
Which is crazy to me because I don't think I like most of his movies, but even when he like, even in Dead Silence, I'll watch that movie and I'll be like, there are some incredibly directed sequences. The one that stands out to me the most, I guess, in talking about this is Death Sentence, which if you guys have seen Death Sentence, there are entire scenes that they rip whole hog into this movie. Even in these minutes that we enclose, the scene where Paul Walker is running on the bus across it is like a big budget version of a scene on a parking garage with Kevin Bacon that is just incredible. Death Sentence, if you don't know, it's an adaptation of a sequel to Death Wish. It was like written by the writer of the Death Wish book, who was just like, I fucking hated the movie. I'm going to basically remake how it should be, where this dude's entire family gets destroyed because he's an asshole. And it's a fun movie with a lot of like okay sequences, but like a lot of standout sequences. That's how a lot of James Wan movies work for me, but I think this one kicks ass.
Stop it.
Whose phone is going off in the middle of our pristine recording?
I silenced my phone, but my FaceTime went off on my computer.
Is Samoan Thor calling?
Daddy's got to go to work.
Yeah, jabroni.
Actually, it was my dad, but I'm podcasting now, Dad. Sorry.
Daddy's got to wish you happy birthday.
It's very Cats in the Cradle.
He had his chance.
Want to hang out, kid? Can't. I'm recording a podcast. Yeah,
when I was a kid, my dad podcasted all the time. Yeah. Never had any time
and
for
the
me.
The Cats in the Cradle and the Silver. Oh, by the way, it's Myrn's birthday.
And the Casts in the Cradle.
Oh, Cast in the Cradle and the. I like it. You got it. So we sent him gifts beforehand.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome. So why don't you open them, here? Why don't you open one of them first? Here. I'm gonna hand it to you. Here you go.
Okay, it's not from Japan, is it? It's not a bomb.
Nope. Open it up.
Oh, okay. And try not to rip the paper. Oh, sorry. My clumsy hands.
Do you see what it is? It is.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. It's a thumb drive.
Oh, okay.
Like the thumb drive we're going to talk about here, the God's Eye, which is somehow not a thumb drive when the movie or the section starts and then later on is plugged into a tablet like normal.
Yeah, like totally.
So it's three things in this movie. But as we go, Myrn's going to be getting other gifts from Nathan and I told Nathan ahead of time.
Cool. That we'd be okay, a thumb drive. I'll have to see what's on it later.
Well, it's God's Eye. It's got God's Eye.
It is God's Eye. Okay, it's the actual God's Eye. It's not just a thumb drive with like some music on it.
Yeah. Jimon Hansu is coming for you right now.
Oh, so I'm the MacGuffin now. I have the God's Eye.
Yeah, you're the rabbit's foot. I mean, God's Eye.
So
where's God's Eye? Give me God's Eye.
So yeah, it's Myrn's birthday. Got a lot going on. Well, we have to give Nathan. We still haven't given Nathan his racer name yet.
Oh yeah, we got to do that. I just remembered. I have before we get a whole hog into the the plot. I actually have another segment.
Okay, for half hog. Okay, our half hog segment. Cool.
Our half hog segment. I just did something very fast and furious. I bought a car.
Nice. Wait, yeah. I've never seen them buy a car. Not once. They just are always so
that
there.
It's almost anti-Fast and Furious to buy a car.
Yeah, it's always just they have a car.
Yeah, you didn't win a car.
It from your dad.
I mean, Brian worked at a car part place. I never saw him actually ring up anything.
Well, okay.
They talked about parts, and he delivered parts.
Admittedly,
he wasn't
ludicrous
actually working. He was undercover.
He still had to work. I'm sure you have to.
Yeah, he's like, no, Brian, you got to put your hours in behind the cash box. You got to be on the sales floor. Whatever.
I got one moment for you guys. Ludacris and Tej definitely buy those two cars at the end of Fast Five. I can't remember the like National Geographic.
You don't see
them
buy them, but they say we just bought these.
There's definitely not a scene of them going.
And then in Fast and Furious 6, Tej and The Rock buy all those cars from that racist British.
They do, but they don't buy them.
No, they do. Yeah, they do buy them.
They talk about
them. Hand him money. Do we see the transaction?
I didn't see him go to the bathroom.
We see him make him take off his clothes, but we don't see him actually buy him. And then
a weird comedy bit in that movie.
That is a really weird bit. We've talked about it.
Anyway. All right, have we not done the segment yet?
No, the segment is you have to guess what kind of car I bought.
Oh, okay.
Maybe like a 20 questions type thing.
20 questions. Is it blue?
No. I don't know how the color is going to help you figure out what kind of car it is.
Does it have four wheels?
It does have four wheels.
Okay, so it's not one of those weird three-wheel ones.
Is it designed by the government, i.e. Kurt Russell?
No, no, not that I know of.
God damn it.
Is it a car that's name appropriates any Native American people?
Not that I know of.
Like a Jeep Cherokee, for instance.
No, no, it's okay. No.
Is it a Pontiac Fiero with a rocket on it?
Oh, I mean, wish, but no.
Is it a Dodge Charger?
No.
Is it a Mazda? Oh, wait, is it American made? Is it American made?
Okay, it is.
You're such a gearhead.
I believe it is. It was originally a European company, but now it's owned by Daimler Chrysler.
Okay, but is it made in America?
I don't know.
You giant gearhead, you.
Origin unknown.
Is it a Hyundai Santa Fe?
No, but you're getting closer.
Really? Wow.
That's actually, no, you're not getting close because I just told you it was originally a European company and now it's owned by Daimler Chrysler. Hyundai is not. I don't know. Korean. Okay.
Just tell us what it is, Byrne.
It's a smart. Little smart cars.
It's called smart is the name of the car.
Yeah.
It's a smart.
You never even
car.
Heard of this?
Oh. Does it have a back? It doesn't even have. Does it even have a trunk?
No. I mean, no, it has a trunk, but it doesn't have back seats.
Oh. Isn't this what doomed Logan Marshall Green and Upgrade?
Oh, man, I don't remember. Maybe. are you just making a joke about
it? Yeah, I'm making a joke. Yeah, yeah. Because there's a smart car.
Is there a smart car in that?
It's the initiating incident in the movie, yes.
Yes. Oh, so because he has like the automatic driving car.
You live in Portland. Is it green? Is it green? How green is it?
It's not green. No, it's black. But it's a tiny little car.
No, not green. Green. Does it take energy from the sky or electricity? Or does it take fossil fuels?
It's a gas car, but it gets about 38 miles to the gallon. So pretty good.
That is amazing. I'm very happy you bought that on your birthday.
Thank you. It felt, it felt very Paul Walker to get like the tiniest car possible.
No, you somehow went further than Paul Walker. Paul Walker is like, give me a Mazda. No, no, a small Mazda. And then you're like, no, I don't even want a back seat. Back seats for wimps. No. Nobody needs back seats.
I want the tiniest amount of car possible to still qualify as a car.
Cool. Nice.
I want to just preface that I love these franchises. I'm not a gearhead at all.
You're still welcome, I guess.
We're huge gearheads.
Huge. Yeah.
We know a lot about cars, Nathan.
I have playing cards on the spokes of my bike.
Oh, cool. That makes a fun. Cool brrr noise. Nice.
I'm a card head.
Oh, you're a card head. All right. We still have not given him his nickname. Let's give him his nickname. I was thinking about this, Nathan. Tell me if it's too mean-spirited. I was thinking second place, since you didn't get to do a podcast on Fast and Furious.
I'll take it. I'm pretty sure I'm everybody's second place to Dominic Toretto. So,
but you can also, if you don't feel that, you can name yourself.
Like, I'm pretty sure even on iTunes, we're third place as far as the Mission Impossible podcast. So I'm good with either third place or second place.
Step up.
Either or.
I don't even know if we're in that. Are we in that top three or is Light the Fuse? Light the Fuse is definitely first.
Yeah, they're number one for sure.
They put the most effort in. Let's be honest.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'd say you're second and I'm third. We're on hiatus. So of active podcasts, I will say you are. I mean, when we come back, you'll go back to third.
Yeah, exactly. It'll take just a second. It's like a Thanos snap.
And the guys from Light the Fuse will die. So
yeah,
just wait them out.
Someday that fuse is going to die out.
Yeah, or were you planning something?
Yeah, I'm going to murder them. I'm going to straight up murder them.
Oh, okay. Well, you said it on a podcast now. So
yeah,
if that happens, you are going to be a suspect.
I didn't say that at all. Just so you guys know this is
let
clear.
That be on the record. Nathan did not say that.
I did not say that.
Your name could also be Wrench Fight. We haven't gotten to the Wrench Fight.
Wrench Fight is nice.
Wrench Fight's good, or we might go Superman Punch from this chunk.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good stuff. Lady
Those
Fight.
Those aren't really, I guess Wrench Fight is semi-car related because you need a wrench to work on a car.
As everyone knows.
I dig on
because we're such gearheads. Should we be Wrench Heads now? We could be Wrench or Wrench Head. That could be your racer name.
That's a good one.
You're not a gearhead, you're a Wrench Head.
That's not bad. Or Card Head.
Okay, I'll take Cardhead.
Cardi B.
Yep.
Sure.
Sure.
Let's do it.
She's family now. So
So let's talk about this. We are 35 minutes in. We have not talked about 1 second.
We had a new guest. We had to do all the sort of get that business the out.
And you had to tell us what kind of car you had to brag. That you bought a.
That's big news. I bought a car for the first time during our.
Three bikes taped together.
I'm shocked that we actually didn't take a little bit to wish Murren happy birthday like Tyrese Gibson would.
Oh yeah!
It is pretty perfect that this is we're doing this chunk on my birthday because it is the most birthday chunk of these movies that I can think of.
Also, your middle name is Jasmine, so it fits.
A lot of people don't know.
Technically,
that.
Yeah, and I just turned 18.
Yeah. Oh my god!
And you got
which
a couple
makes
rockets.
Me a little uncomfortable.
And I've seen your chest. You have a couple rockets on there, just so you know.
I will say, and I preface this when you guys talk to me about this. This is my least favorite chunk of the movie.
Yeah. So let's
what a
dig
weird
into it.
Thing to say too. Like my least favorite chunk of the movie. Well, okay.
It's just I feel that the Abu Dhabi sequence is the most they veer away from like a straight up revenge movie, which is what I dig about this movie. Although it does bring in the government stuff, I find that most of the stuff at Abu Dhabi isn't as impressive as the stuff before and the stuff after.
That Vin Diesel just wanted to go to Abu Dhabi. And so they're like, let's film here. And they went and spent 2 weeks there.
I think this sequence is the reason why it is the highest grossing of any of these movies.
Oh, definitely. The international appeal.
Seeing the elegance and money of Abu Dhabi.
The ladies, we got people that like the octagon, people that like MMA fighting, people that like, I mean, it's got everything.
It's hitting a lot of cross sections here.
Have
of,
you guys talked yet about how this feels like a James Wan love letter to Michael Bay? And I say this as a Michael Bay fan. This movie has the most gratuitous like ass shots and like body shots of.
I mean, we do talk about the ass shots a lot.
Oh, for sure. How could you not? They establish.
They're in every shot.
Yeah, I mean, in your previous half, there's literally a shot where Vin Diesel is like, "All right, I'm near the main party," but he's like off in the background, and you're like, "Oh, Vin Diesel's in this shot because we have just this like woman's breast just right in front of the camera."
Nathan is showing off his chest to us on the camera.
Showing us his rockets.
Yeah, my nipples are very hard right now.
They are. It's actually surprisingly bad.
Yeah. It's like they leave shadows.
So this is your least favorite. We've come off the beach scene where they are ogling Ramsey, and now they have walked down the stairs and are going to the party. Vin Diesel. Dominic.
He's wearing a suit for the first time that I can remember.
Suit is, it's barely. He's barely buttoned up the shirt. He is wearing a tuxedo.
He couldn't button that all the way.
He looks better in this than he does for his wedding that technically took place before this scene.
He's wearing a vest, a wife beater. You know, he wore a white and a little frilly like. Silk shirt to his wedding.
I mean, he's dressed up more, but I mean, I feel like for his wedding, he's dressed how he should be for who he is.
For beach life, he's living that beach life.
Yeah, oh, totally.
Get married.
Like you wouldn't want anything less than the classic. He wears like a. It's probably like a nice wife beater. It's like a, an Armani brand.
I think something
still compression though.
I think something also to bring up with just the girdle. In this sequence is this is where we really start to feel that Paul Walker is left the main shooting of this movie.
He is probably dead at this point.
Yeah, he's mostly CGI. I know
because
they shot
we'll see a bunch of CGI here.
Oh, totally.
Anytime I don't see his face, I'm like, this is not from the movie. This is they've cobbled this together from something else.
For sure. We have like one main sequence where he is talking a lot during it, and it's the phone call sequence, which feels like the scene that they would crowbar in because like, of everything that happened, sadly. But this is where he is noticeably more CGI, but not in a bad way. I never felt like it was like a puppeteering job like they've done in some of the Star Wars movies.
No, it feels weighted. The only time you notice his head bobbling on his body is when Vin almost falls through the window at the end of the race, at the end of the whatever this is, chase.
And also the car is bobbling, which helps.
Yeah. And he's at the end, he's laying on the ground. He says something to Vin. That's a pickup. And then you're like, well, they didn't get that shot. So they just made it.
Yeah. Yeah, that is definitely the most noticeable moment.
I didn't notice it in the Abu Dhabi sequence as much, but after that in the LA sequence, I really noticed it.
Because you notice he's not in any of the plans, really, the hijinks of the stuff. Yeah, he's really not doing anything.
I mean, yeah, he's Ramsey around, and that's when I was like, "Oh, that's not Paul Walker in that car."
And then
you can see his head, but not when he's talking. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure they said they only managed to get like 45% of him in this movie.
Yeah,
yeah, which is crazy. How I don't notice it that much. Yeah, no. I notice a small amount, but
I would say they got really lucky that most of the like exposition scenes were shot first, and then all the action set pieces where you would have a CGI Paul Walker in some of those shots anyways have more of him in that. But you know, it works really well for
I'm never out of the movie the whole movie from now. At least I don't feel that he's going to die like I did at the beginning of the movie. I kept going, oh my god, they're gonna kill his character off.
Well, that's a hurdle you come into. My roommate, he likes a few of them. He mainly likes 6. I always get in this hurdle with him because I really like 7, but he feels like they tease his death too much. But also, you watch any of the previous movies, it's like, so you either give him insane plot armor to where it feels weird, or you keep it consistent with how Brian is, and then you do that sort of fourth wall breaking that you guys will naturally get to.
I think when I saw 7 first, I knew how it ended, I think, or vaguely at least. I was like, I know.
All I knew was like good send off.
Yeah, I knew good send off. So I think I knew about the same amount. So I just like, they're not going to just kill him in the movie. Like, he's going to like have a nice moment at the end. So I wasn't really looking for
at like, no a point moment. Does it feel like The Rise of the Skywalker, where like the movie's designed over deleted scenes from other movies.
Yeah, they're I never felt like they had to jam in something weird to make it work correctly.
Yeah,
I was like, it's fine. And in
Rise of Skywalker, it's like they used footage that didn't fit just because they had it. Whereas this is like they literally wrote the script
to work in lines. Yeah, like it's fucking Arrested Development. Like, my name is Judge, sort of shit. You know, that's where you get icky.
All right. Anyway, so Vin Diesel is in a suit. They're all dressed up to go to this party, and he's in an elevator with Letty, and they have a really sweet scene, I think.
And where, she has a little PTSD remembrance when he touches her wrist.
Yeah,
she remembers the hot.
Still, Latin, just forget that. Like, she still has amnesia in this movie.
And doesn't know that she got married to Vin.
Doesn't really matter, but yeah. So
that is one of the underwhelming aspects of 6, where it just ends, and it's like, do you remember any of this? No, but it feels like family.
They should have just had her remember everything at the end of 6. I feel like,
because later on, it's like he's like, "Well, you okay?" She's like, "I'm fine. I'm just having
the fact that she has memories. Amnesia is very nominal to the movie until the ending."
Yeah, the ending is kind of a nice fit. But I like, he has a line here where she's like, he's looking at her and she's like, what's wrong? He's like, there's a million things wrong right now, but nothing in this moment. I was like, oh, I kind of like that line.
That is nice. And then she buttons up one of his buttons, because even she's like, damn, man, you have way too many buttons unbuttoned on this shirt.
Yeah, if you weren't completely hairless, you'd be showing some hamburger meat right now.
He is completely hairless, isn't he? He's very smooth.
He starts shaving his armpits after the 6th movie. I was trying to track it, honestly, because I'm like, I was watching 5 and I'm like, he has armpit hair in here.
Do we know for sure? Does he have eyebrows? Do we know that he has eyebrows? Can you remember him having eyebrows?
Wouldn't it be funny if, and this is for another part that you guys have, if when that bomb goes off or whatever, he ends up like losing his eyebrows in the beginning.
He's got propecia or whatever it's called.
Yeah, alopecia.
Alopecia, but propecia is for hair.
He does have eyebrows. Have no hair. He does have eyebrows, but they're pretty thin. Anyway, yeah, they're in the elevator. They're going to the party. It's going down for real, is what I had to say about that.
I wrote about the party, Golden Dancers.
Yeah, and that's weird because I know from watching Goldfinger that if you have gold paint covered all over you, you die. So I don't know how they're still
alive. Those four women are going to die.
It's a matter of minutes at this point.
And also, you're watching this, and this is probably the most melting pot of Saudi Arabian parties I've ever seen. Everyone there, you're like, that's not Saudi Arabian. It's basically like just the people they normally hang out with at racing things. It's like vaguely ethnic.
They established Saudi Arabia like a race war like scene in any of the previous movies, which should have changed the name.
This is Abu Dhabi, which is
yes,
United Arab Emirates.
Yes.
Yeah. But I don't know. I think I've never been there. It may be more of a melting pot than like other parts of,
maybe rich people, maybe for billionaires, maybe all billionaires.
Wait, Murren, I thought you were shooting from Abu Dhabi right now. You're not?
Oh,
it is very bright.
I should find like a Zoom background. That's
I see Tyrese singing happy birthday to you right now.
Oh, I wish that would be such, that'd be so cool. You got like, this is, I wonder how much is Tyrese's cameo?
Oh, we should check that out. Somebody look up.
I'm Tyrese's, looking it up.
Okay, but thank you.
Does he have a cameo?
I bet he does. I don't know.
He seems like just the sort of guy who'd have.
I mean, Hobbs and Shaw made him literally be like, "My daughter is going to starve." I'm like, maybe no. Not as, no, not I, as I don't a see head it. Of a franchise. Are you kidding me?
No, he's got F7 and F us money, so he's not going to.
No, yeah. He's not on a cameo. That's a bummer.
Is there anybody from the Fast and Furious movies you get on cameo?
Mark Boone Jr.
Maria
Menounos.
She's extended. Pert Hapley.
From
Fast Five.
Purred.
You heard from Pert. Yeah.
I wonder if Lucas Black.
Why don't I just do Lucas Black's cameo to you? Hey, Murren, happy birthday. I'm 87 years old, but I'm still playing 30 years old.
Fun fact about Lucas Black is on his IMDb trivia, it says he actually had no former acting school.
No
or
acting
shit.
Whoa, right? Really? Crazy.
I'm like, no. You didn't need this trivia.
Well, when I was at Juilliard, I learned that it's much easier to speak in your native tongue.
It's like when you read in the Avengers movies, like, did you know that Thor appears in this from the 2011 movie Thor? sort of stuff.
Like, whoa, that's interesting trivia. No, I actually like Lucas Black. His voice is crazy, but I don't think he's a bad actor.
No, I like him. I like him too. I just don't like him. He's not good in 2, in that 2 is like a weird fish out of water movie, but he's a fish out of water in America. So then they sent him
water. Anywhere him outside of his hometown,
anywhere outside of DeKalb County in Atlanta, Georgia, he is a fish out of
he's
water.
He's a Bama boy.
Oh,
he's
I'm not an LB fan. I'm not. I don't dig on LB.
Are you gonna? I'm gonna hoot and holler when he comes on in 9 when his giant forehead shows up. I am so excited
for 57-year-old like Lucas Black in F9.
Yeah. I mean, his forehead was huge as a teenager in Tokyo Drift.
It's getting bigger and bigger. We got some big foreheads in this series. We discussed that before. If you're completely bald, is your forehead huge, or are you just showing? You know, anyway. We get Tyrese coins the term Blarib, which I really don't like. I feel like it's racist in a way that I don't understand.
This is the moment where Tyrese becomes too much for me in this movie, because I actually dig on him in every single one of the sequels past 5.
Okay.
Except for like this scene, I feel like it's like, okay, there are actually 2 moments. In 6, he's like, what do we need these guns for? Hunting Moby Dick? I'm like, couldn't we get another take? Come on, find a better line. But
you wonder how much of them are his ad libs and how much are actually like written jokes.
I don't feel like I have to wonder.
In this movie, it definitely feels like they just let him go.
Yeah.
This is when you sort of get into the old birthday routine that he
also I don't understand why he wants to be around these people. He's a multimillionaire. What does he care? Is it because they're billionaires?
Because that's why he says Blarib. He's like, I'm going to be one of these. I'm just going to start move here and hang out with these people all the time. This weird sort of prom night for rich people energy. I don't know. Roman's a mystery. But Tej is like, everyone has their job. Tej is kind of running this.
Yes, Tej is now. Remember Tej, the guy who owned a garage and had a giant afro, has become the boss of a heist.
I think that Tej is the MVP of this movie for me.
He is, because he comes the furthest. I think at the end of the day, you're like, I kind of like Tej.
Like, are you first, talking I about never... like acting performance or like the character, what he's the character does in the movie?
I think a little bit of both. But, I wouldn't say he's the best performance of the movie, but I think his humor works the best in this movie, especially when he's rolling up the windows, when they have like the miniguns pulling out of the thing, like just his entire.
He's good. And he's not like he doesn't do too much like Rome, like Tyrese does. He keeps it pretty subtle.
He's mainly undercutting. I'd say he's actually doing a lot of favors to Tyrese by like giving because those roll kind of the eyes.
They've kind of always been a pair, and he's been the one who's like, come on, man, like be cool. And yeah, he's cool. And he is in this section of especially, he kind of comes off as the most competent person on the team.
Totally, totally.
He has like the most skills of anyone on the team now. He's like an expert hacker and fighter and driver.
You know, like they kind of do it where at different jobs. He's had a lot of personal he's had a lot of time on his hands with his job, so he's been able to like better himself while still having the same job. He's like, yeah, sure, I race cars. Sure, I sit by the canal and race jet skis. But in my downtime, I'm learning C++ and all these coding languages, and I'm learning how to hack things.
He's lifelong student. Yeah, is what you're saying. Yeah,
he's become
do a decent segue right here. He has one skill that he can't master, which is deadlifting a fucking car.
He cannot do that. Only one person on this team can do that.
First of all, this is the Lycan Hypersport, a real car. Supposedly, it's $3.4 million. Whatever, blah blah blah. The fact that it exists and none of us know what it is, fine. The problem I have with it is that they had seven of these on set, seven, and they destroyed six of them.
Holy shit.
There is one left. And I'm like, are they all real? Like, I know stunt cars, sometimes there's like, they buy the nice one, the hero shot, the 3.4 million, and then they buy all the rest are just literally like bodies. And they
only
Lycan.
Dropped one of them, right? Like in that one ending of that sequence, they definitely didn't drive it through the three towers.
That's not real. I mean,
but they certainly dropped like at least a shell of one of them.
Something. I don't know. It says they destroyed seven of them, which makes me think the ones they drove inside.
Yeah, I was about to say, definitely not the outdoor shots, because outdoor shots, that's impossible.
Oh, yeah, the other nine were destroyed. Of the 10 produced for the...
10! Ten.
The Lycan Hypersports used in the film were not production models, but purpose-built by W Motors for the film.
But they're still... they can't be cheap.
Yeah, not at all.
It's still... Like, they probably don't have, like, the full engine.
Sure, they're not smart cars. But they're, like, made to look... Yeah, they're not...
There is not a dollar in this movie that, like, isn't in the fucking Abu Dhabi sequence, it feels.
It's insane. I was trying to look up how much these weigh. It says 3,042 pounds.
Okay, well, he only lifts half of it.
Yeah, so no problem.
So that's 1,500 pounds.
It still makes me cackle, like, undeniably, like, having seen this multiple times, probably around seven times, like, when he just is like, okay, like, it was already in the plan.
This was the plan.
Yeah, they don't even say, like, we'll need to get under the car. They just cut right to him, like, okay, let's do it.
They never say, oh, damn, there's no jack. They're like, was always the plan. I'm going to pick this up.
That would have been a bad bit to find one afterward. Like, oh, we could have just pushed this button. But I do like Paul Walker's read of... You got this, right?
He's got the little thing in his mouth, the flashlight. So I was like, you got this, right?
You got this, right?
He's like, yeah, go. I mean, that's like a great bit. That actually kind of saves like the jumping of the shark immediately of him.
Oh, it's the hanging a lantern on it that the writers all like make it sound ridiculous so that everyone's like, they know it's ridiculous.
Totally.
Yeah, we all know it's not ridiculous. They're not doing it in a super serious, like, you know, oh,
like
he
the time
has
that he caught
this.
That entire manifold of a truck with one hand with that chain in what?
Yeah.
Three, where he grabs it and you're like, that's a 900 pound engine that he just freehands.
From what I've heard, at least when directors are offered movies in this franchise, which is weirdly, this is a weirdly director driven franchise, like, you know, paralleling with Mission Impossible or any other like director driven franchise, the Alien franchise. I hear that like when they pitch these movies, they're just like, okay, what is the craziest like action set piece you can think of?
Mm-hmm.
that you can crowbar a car into, because we'll do it and then we'll write around it, and like Vin
totally
will take care of like the character arcs and the story, which totally like makes sense for this.
Yeah, it does seem like they're like, okay, we need to go to this location because this is where they have three towers that we can jump across.
Yeah,
and that's like what we're building.
And they're close enough to where if you did shoot a car out of it, I'd at least go, yeah, I bet a car could make that far. Sure.
Is it after this bit where we get Tez showing how like tactically capable he is?
Yeah, it's coming up. First we get Lady Fight, though.
They're doing that.
Okay,
Letty,
nice.
Letty goes in the in that back. Well, she has to find the plenum colored wire, which is orange.
Yeah, what's interesting about this, like, versus the way how Justin Lin directs, which Justin Lin is far more classical, I feel like James Wan directs this more in a dynamic way. Like, you feel the punches, like, when Letty flips over the couch, he does a ton of these camera flips. I'm such a Justin, James Wan fan that I watched his pilot to the MacGyver show, which is not good, but they even did the spinning camera thing. I was like, okay, awesome. That checks out.
That's his
thing. He has a lot of flair. I really appreciate it.
Let's talk about the lady fight. This is
Ronda Rousey.
Ronda Rousey as an American. She's not like putting on an accent. She's like, hey,
no,
bitch.
That would have been asking
like,
a lot.
Yeah, she's just like, hey, bitch.
Totally.
And you're like, okay, I guess she's Ronda Rousey.
She is I think she's working hard enough to not spike the camera in this.
She's the Lucas Black of this movie. We have to give her props for actually doing a really good job. And also, she hasn't been canceled yet as a human, so as an MMA fighter.
I'm
so
sure she's fine, and she's a very impressive fighter, but she has two
team,
lines.
Bitch, is a little bit more satisfying.
Yeah,
now,
wrong though. Team, bitch. You're like, man. And then she and her Gestapo henchmen. It's all
weird.
all female beret, whatever, shock troopers come running in, and they're all wearing khakis, and they're and Letty takes out at least three of them, like in the first 2 seconds.
You barely even.
Michelle Rodriguez really shines in this.
It's a great fight, and she's.
It is.
She wore a dress that is appropriate for fighting.
Totally.
It totally opens up in the middle. Like it doesn't have like it's not so low that you know she couldn't move her legs. She's able to kick and flail, and it's awesome.
I guess for all my criticism with this sequence, if you take this out, it feels like everything with Letty is so slight in this movie.
Mm. Yeah.
Because this is really her standout sequence. And in a lot of ways, this is a bit of Tej's standout sequence. Everything else that is going on is just kind of like,
we still don't understand why these people have this kind of hand-to-hand combat training. There's no reason for Tej to have this. Maybe he took some Krav Maga classes.
No.
And Letty has been dead and then she was put into a mercenary group in the last movie. So maybe she got a little paramilitary training there. But
Letty makes sense. Letty makes sense at this point, because you would assume what? Like, I guess if we're saying it's the actual time, shit, I guess Fast Five happens like right after Furious or Fast Ampersand Furious.
Yeah, it takes up exactly right after it let off.
Yeah, so I guess you could say that's like 2010 at most. And I guess Furious 6 is 2013. I don't know. I'm just thinking to myself how long she would have had in training.
And I don't think any of them. I mean, they're all ridiculously trained. That's what's so funny about this.
Oh, totally.
Vin Diesel
can fight.
Yeah,
how ridiculous it is.
Vin Diesel can go toe-to-toe with Shaw. He is a trained black ops person. He's like, oh, I'm just from the streets of L.A., but I totally fight you. And you're like,
I could just pick up two wrenches and do this.
I did that guy.
When you see, just like I almost beat that guy to death.
Yeah, you're gonna have to take the short bus. He would never say that. Like Jesus Christ, I still can't believe that's a bit that is in his mythology.
It was literally a different time.
Yeah.
Back when we were like, we could say short bus, right? Yeah, no one cares. Okay.
Oh shit.
Like you can go down to Fatburger and get a blah 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 for $2.99.
That's why I don't think they'll ever have that one, his father be revealed to be still alive, because then he'd have to explain why he like mentally handicapped.
No, I think Nine's going to show him die. I think Nine is going, I think they're going
to see the flashback to the sequence where he died on the racetrack.
I keep seeing set photos where they're at a racetrack and there'd be no reason to be at a racetrack.
And because Jacob, his brother, is in,
right.
In
and
Nine.
That's what I'm hoping is that it's literally like a pan of him screaming.
Yeah. I'm hoping for some Jesse. Justice for Jesse.
Jesse.
Justice for everybody. Justice for Giselle at this
Justice
point.
Justice for Vince.
To be fair, Jesse welched on a race war race. So he
Jesse was
knows that you pay with your life if you drive away after you lose a race war. Everyone knows this.
That's if you don't give your car, then your life is forfeit.
Yes.
I was going to say about the fights. You see, so next we see Tej take out the security guy very adeptly. Mm-hmm. I almost like Ramsey is right there, and we know nothing about Ramsey, and I would have totally bought her doing this. It's like,
I would too. Ramsey has turned into Mia.
Yeah, she's kind of the joke almost, and it seems like they're continuing against this in F9, where it's like the joke is she doesn't know how to do anything except hack.
Oh, she's a millennial. She doesn't know how to do anything.
I don't know. That's kind of lame. I think
it is. I don't like where they're going, because I think Mia in this next one's going to actually get to be something. But they're always like, we have to have one weak woman. No, they can all just be capable of stuff. That's fine.
I keep thinking about this it does kind of remind me of, and I hate to keep bringing it up, but Mission Impossible, where it's like, okay,
what's
so now
about?
We have two people in the vans. Yeah, is that a movie? I'm not even familiar, but you have like two people in the van doing the hacking now, because like you have like the main muscle with either The Rock or Vin Diesel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've actually, because you're just now this movie, maybe last movie, have made Teji into the hacker.
Impossible,
then they add a hacker.
The biggest guy is the hacker.
Yeah. Well, I hear Ving Rhames can't really
run.
He's not the most fit guy, but he is like the biggest. Like,
yeah. But then again, Vin Diesel hardly has an action set piece where he's not seated.
Can you imagine Vin Diesel's meat hands trying to hack something?
Oh, my gosh. Same age as Paul Giamatti, everybody. Just like
same age as Paul Giamatti.
And we get the line, nothing sadder than locking a beast in a cage.
Oh my god, yes.
And that's, I'm like, hell yeah. When you're holding up a car, anything you say sounds cool. He could have said anything.
Makes me want to punch him in the face.
That is like Vin Diesel. I realize, like, especially watching this, he has a couple lines in this where it's like what he is great at is just making any line sound epic.
Words ain't even been invented yet.
Yeah, he just has that tone, and like the line doesn't even have to be that great, and he just makes it sound
like
awesome.
Time to unleash the beast. If they let Brian say that, time to unleash the beast, it would have been like, that's dumb.
But we end this on a Vin Diesel one liner, at least in mine.
Oh yeah. Yes, because you watched the extended cut.
It's got
a few extra things. Would you consider that the Ronda Rousey, the
bizarro Ronda Rousey?
Yes.
Ronda
Rousey. Consider this fight the best fight in this movie?
No, disagree.
Okay. What do you think the best fight is?
The Rock versus
a drone.
if we're counting like inanimate like objects, yes,
always.
The Rock versus a drone. But if we're talking one-on-one fight, I think The Rock versus Jason Statham.
You like that one
fight.
Better. I didn't think there was a lot going. I mean, for me, that's a lot of table flips and a lot of grenades and him jump. You know what I mean? I mean,
one of those where it's my weird inherent, like I'm very much a Justice for Han head, but I think that Jason Statham is among one of our greatest living action heroes right now.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing him take out The Rock.
See him in our sponsor this week, the State of Man. Or is that the name of it? Is that the name of the movie?
The Wrath of Man.
Wrath of Man. What our sponsor this week, Wrath of Man. Please go see it in theaters.
Damn, why wasn't one of these called The Wrath of Shaw? Why wasn't this Furious 7 Wrath of Shaw? but I like seeing
Shaw.
It would have been Vin Diesel just saying that, and then you'd see that. What I find interesting about that fight is how much he fights dirty, which I dig on in this entire movie. Like,
yeah,
he's the sort of guy who will like, okay, fuck this, I'm throwing a mine because, you know, this is the way how I do things. It's like wearing a weighted glove to a boxing match.
Yeah, and Jason Statham's just like, you thought this was a game? Like, I'm gonna do whatever it takes to take you out. This is
in one of the most inexplicable sequences that is not in this part, so I will move past it.
we get to another version of it though, at least in the extended cut.
Oh, totally.
You're talking
so
about
unleash
the
beast.
They play chicken, but they don't dodge. They don't move out of the way.
They unleash the beast. The car is now out in the middle of the thing, and Shaw shows up. with the biggest gun with the most attachments anyone's ever brought to a birthday
party. It's like a rocket launcher, also a machine gun.
It has so much stuff on. I was like, what is going on with that gun?
Speaking of Rise of Skywalker, I keep digging this movie forever, but I almost wanted Oscar Isaac to show up and be like, somehow Shaw is here.
Somehow Shaw has returned.
I mean, I've been demanding for Babu Frick to be in a few of these movies, just as a mechanic. I have
no arguments with that. The MVP of the whole series.
Yeah, MVP of that entire sequel series, oddly enough.
Yeah.
And they drive to the second tower. They drive straight through.
Paul Walker gets a reprise of his Cars
Don't Fly.
Second tower,
nothing's going on.
Cars Don't Fly. Cars Don't Fly.
Second tower car. There's nothing in the second tower. Brakes don't work, so he drives around again. This is now because
in the first one too. I noticed like when they jump, I think Jason Statham shoots a rocket at the car and it explodes, and that's what propels them to the second building.
Sure.
Now
I wouldn't have believed the car could make it.
So much of the sequence doesn't work for me because Statham isn't in it until about that moment. It would have been interesting to have him like
at the party,
sort of, fuck up their entire plan.
Like, oh yeah, that Ethan Hunt back again to Mission Impossible. That Ethan Hunt like detente where there's like the bad guy, and the good guy, and
Jonathan.
They have to kinda...
Yeah, there's no way we're gonna dodge it. We're gonna be saying Mission Impossible a lot, and not just because we have a podcast, like two different podcasts on it. This is the Ghost Protocol sequence.
Yes, I mean this could easily be in that movie.
Yeah, for a while you could almost think
except
it's the
Tom Cruise would be driving those cars between buildings and crashing.
He would have trained himself to drive a car from one building to another. And
well, he had to train a car first.
Justin Lin, not reach out to Tom Cruise. He's going to kill himself on a Fast and Furious movie ends up joining this franchise.
and then they go to the third tower, which inexplicably is a museum of terracotta warriors.
Breakable things
and other Chinese things. And I'm like, look, I've been watching a lot of the Great Pottery Throwdown. If you haven't watched it, it's on HBO Max. It's fantastic. Those terracotta is not easy to make. So when he destroys all of those statues, I'm so unhappy. I'm like, that is such a hard thing to make.
It is really taking the like driving through a fruit stand to the the next level.
Yeah, because they drive in there and it's literally like, seriously.
It feels like a Michael Bay directed James Bond movie.
Yes. This is what I want to see at the bottom steps. I want to see like a James Bond movie. I want to see, what's his face? What was the name of that stupid redneck cop from Thunderball who shows up?
I wanted
him to be in the lobby. And they're like, well, in this tower is our museum.
I keep wanting to say Fred Dalton Thomas, but it is not.
No,
him,
I
know.
Yeah. I forget his name. I forget his Buford T. Justice type of thing. Like
he's
character.
Weirdly, he's one of those guys who I'm like, fuck him in the James Bond movies, but he's really good in John Sayles' Lone Star. If you've ever seen that with McConaughey, Chris Christopherson, it's like, wow, that's a really subtle, great performance, which is not what you're expecting out of.
So anyway, three ridiculously different towers. We're now so far away. Now the car's just fighting the guys. It's not really, Shaw's not really part of this. Although I would be worried.
Yeah, he just kind of shows up at the end and is kind of an impetus for them to drive.
And doesn't kill any of the other team. You could have easily killed Roman. He's still there.
I don't think he cares about Roman.
Yeah.
Do you think he even knows Roman's part of the team?
It would have been greater
if later on he's like, "You tried to kill us, man."
Well, he certainly does know who you are. USB, but I'll commit to the bit. Yeah, I don't even know who you are. I don't even know who you are, mate. He is the Thanos of this franchise.
He is.
Would have been fun if Thanos had joined the Avengers. That would have been.
and that's where we get the CGI shot when the car goes out of the third window, the third building of the Triskelion. It falls to the ground. That is definitely CG, not great. And then we get the CG shot of Brian. He's like, still miss those bullets, Brian.
Definitely added in post.
Yep, definitely added.
We also get the fun little bit of seeing a family having dinner as the car falls past their window.
Yeah, let's talk about the makeup of that family. I couldn't tell if there were two husbands and two wives and then children. And I was like,
I didn't check it that carefully.
It's a dinner party.
I think it's a dinner party. I really do. Because I was looking at it going, that's not a family. Is it a family? I can't tell if it's a family. I don't want to say anything because if it's not.
Hey, in these movies, family is what you make it.
Mm-hmm. Jonathan,
family is whatever you want.
You're the one with a beer in front of you, you should have finished it by like the portion that we had because you know the game. Oh yeah, you're already finished. Okay, yeah, we said like family like six times in the midst of this family. Mm-hmm. But
I drink a Modelo, one of our sponsors.
One of your sponsors, friend of the show.
Friend of the show. But
Modelo, the beer of Fast and Furious, obviously, famously.
Famous. Yeah.
Always drinking Modelos.
I'm really glad that we're past the Modelo virus right now.
Yeah. I got my Modelo vaccine.
Yeah.
I'm completely vaccinated.
I got my Pacifico shot, second dose.
Oh, good, good.
Nice. I got my Dos Equis dose.
Oh, nice.
My Pacifico Dos Equis.
Well, if you get the Pacifico, you only need one shot. It's the Dos Equis that has two.
Yeah, you got to get Uno Dos Equis and then Dos Equis.
It's very confusing.
God damn it.
All right, so they get the thing. I think they call it a speed drive. Sure. Okay. They get it. They go back.
It's just God's eye, right?
Yes.
I don't.
They get it. They get this box. They get it back because Brian literally stuck his hand into the dashboard of the car as they're about to crash. They get back to the other guy. Their queue of this of Abu Dhabi. Yeah. They go back to his place, and they are met by Mr. Nobody and his gang. And I in the movie theater, I'm like, he's gonna double cross him.
I like how the music plays
is a double cross.
Yes,
the way that they shoot it is a double cross. He even says, "Unfortunately," and I'm like, oh, here it comes. No,
and how satisfying is it that he's just like, yeah, I'm all in on this guy. I dig on his vibe, you know. So yeah, he's giving it back to Dom.
He literally hands it to him, and Mr. Nobody holds it and goes, "All right, you can go find your person. We are at your service." I'm like, what?
There's no way you guys didn't talk about the whole, like, you'd be doing yourself a favor by switching out your Belgian ale for a Corona.
That bit is really
for lukewarm room temperature Belgian ale that he has there, because that keg is not sitting inside of any sort of ice.
Yeah, no, not at all. Yeah, it's lovely.
I like how this whole sequence takes place in a car shop for no reason.
Totally. A car shop that also has the most amazing hacking system stuff.
But they're just like, yeah, they're just in a place
level 19 screen blowjobs area ready to go. If you've not seen Swordfish, those things happen in Swordfish.
If you've not seen Swordfish, it's like one of the best movies ever made for the first like 10 minutes.
Hugh Jackman. Is this a Michael Mann movie? And then you're like, yes. Yeah. Terrible. This
he gets a blowjob while doing a hack, while hacking a computer, and then he spins around in his chair and goes, "Woo, okay." Does all these crazy things. But there's cars up on lifts for no reason just because it's Fast and Furious, and they never do anything with the cars in this shop.
This is why I was confused, because when I got Myrna's present, this was the first thing I was confused by, because the thing that Mr. Nobody holds up has three processors on it and is kind of like on a little tray, like it's a little thing.
Okay, well, hold on. We're gearheads. We're not chip heads. We're not computer chip heads.
I know, but later on, 2 seconds later, Ramsey takes it and jams it into the computer. And I'm like, wait, what did you just do? Does it have a flip-up USB like they all do, like all USB drives do? Like, was it just hidden? Does it look like a computer chip, but it's actually a USB drive? I don't know.
Chiphead sounds like the nickname you'd give me if we did Hacker's Minute or something.
We're all chipheads here. That sounds like Chipettes, though. It's very close to the Chipettes, so I don't think I want to do that. That's for when we do our Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Alvin and the Chipmunks Minute. God damn it.
Alvin and the Chip Minute.
Welcome to Hacker's Minute. I'm Ram, and this is Chiphead. And,
and so I'm, back to Jason
and I'm
Lee.
Floppy disk, because it happens to everybody.
Back to Matthew Lillard.
Oh man, Matthew Lillard was in this movie.
Oh god, yeah.
Next week we have Fisher Stevens as a guest. Okay.
So Mr.
He was
Nobody,
the only one who responded.
And God's Eye turns on, and they have to, of course, Tej has to be like, "Ooh, what's that number? What's this? What's that?" And she basically tells them every cell phone, CCTV camera, anything with a lens in the world is now biometrically looking for Shaw.
And
he was just at the party. So we know he's in Abu Dhabi.
I feel like this is overkill. They know he's in the same city they are. And he's actively trying to find them.
Right.
And somewhere out there, Lucius Fox is like, so much power.
Yes.
If you continue doing this I'm going to quit.
This is wrong. you don't know, you got the God's eye. It turned into Stallone halfway through.
It always does.
They have family.
You notice that Vin Diesel is never, he's in the scene, but he never talks during technologically based scene. He never does the iced tea. He never is like, so what you're saying is this thing tracks people's faces. Like, he's never that guy.
What kills me is I think due to his limitations as an actor, he's actually a very gracious screen partner. Like, a lot of people get time to shine.
I'm sure he just knows that this is not going to play the way I like with my acting.
I'm here to say, let's uncage the beast. I'm not here to say, is that a teraflop of
Michael processes go with fans and they spin.
Yeah. You think has Vin Diesel ever said the word microprocessor in his life? I can't even imagine.
Someone go scrub through his Instagram and find me something where he's like, hey, family, just want to say we're coming out with a new microprocessor.
Well, at least this is what I heard from my brother. Apparently he went on Facebook Live and like it was like in his pocket for a while and he didn't realize it was on. And like people were even going up to him and being like, oh, you got Facebook Live on. And he's like, yeah, you're crazy. I'm just imagining him going into fucking Geek Squad being like, so you're telling me I need a microprocessor? I'm pretty sure that's the only time he used it.
Sir, the reason why you keep going to Facebook sound it out, is like because your phone doesn't have a lock screen. And also, you're always wearing very silky pants, these silky white pants. And they're rubbing up against your pants way too much, so it's turning on. So first, lock screen. Same thing you told my mother. My mother has no lock screen on her phone.
So wait, are we ready to bag a shadow? Is this where we're going?
Just about.
We're gonna go bag a shadow.
I do really like Tyrese has a line where he's like, can I check my email real quick? And I have to admit that got me. I like that. He says it like he's like expecting something kind of embarrassing. Like, I just gotta check my email real quick.
Oh, totally. So are we waiting for Jonathan? I'm not sure.
Oh, we can just continue. I don't know. I have no idea what Jonathan's doing. Maybe he's getting my next birthday present. That's what I'm assuming.
Are we? We're at the place.
We're ready.
Where they
we're
start
definitely
the
ready
night
to bag
vision.
A shadow.
Yeah. Where when they introduce Jason Statham in this scene when they're all sort of mobilizing in? Have you seen Nobody? Did you see the movie Nobody?
I have not seen Nobody yet.
There's a weirdly similar scene to the movie Nobody where, he pulls out a grenade and he almost like has them all. And there's the whole like, I don't got friends, I got family in the middle of that. And then we get to the whole like, well, I got friends or whatever the hell his line is after that, where Jimon Hounsou comes in, which Jimon Hounsou, oddly enough, is like, he's kind of where I sort of tune out. Like, his entire backstory isn't needed. I feel like if they just streamlined it with Sean, it was Shaw.
Yeah, he's kind of actually, he's doing his Jimon Hounsou thing where he's like, yeah, I'm the second. I'm just like here, what I do. I'll show up for anything. And
sorry,
just
I had to leave
hang
for
out
a second to get our other sponsor's beer, Corona.
Oh, now you're on track. Are you holding
don't
that
cage
the right
the
way?
Beast. That's their new slogan.
Are you holding that bottle the right way? There we go.
Well, we didn't cage the beast. We're in the middle of the like sort of beginning of the night vision fight. You've got night vision fight, which
you do that though, Murray, you need to open this other gift.
Okay.
All right, come on, open it.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's wrapped really. Okay, I got that. Oh, there's a leather layer. Oh my god. Okay, got to open up this layer too.
He just pulls out a switchblade to cut it open.
It's not a grenade in a napkin, is it?
Well, not if you guess it.
Okay. Oh my god. That's crazy.
It's bulletproof armor that is somehow indistinguishable from plastic and rubber, and it's made of neoprene. And it also
oh my god,
like,
yeah.
It also looks like dragon scales. I hope you like it.
It almost looks like something that would be in Aquaman later on.
But the problem is we had to get it in tank top version because you always wear tank tops. So I don't know if it's actually going to cover much of you. So if you get shot in the shoulder,
well,
you may
if
die.
I get shot in the shoulder, that's not lethal.
So. Isn't that's Plot Armor TM, right? Like that's the brand that they have. Okay, cool.
So Night Fight.
Same thing they used in Back to the Future.
I want to talk about Night Fight because I don't understand.
To be clear, I don't know if we actually said we meet Shaw in an abandoned warehouse and he is sitting at a table eating dinner, eating like a steak, and he has a glass of wine.
Yes. And a grenade in his napkin.
Like I said, it's very nobody-esque, except not in a nightclub. It's in a freaking, whatever chop shop. They all look like places where Jigsaw would have traps keeping with one.
They're in an automated factory. Remember, there's nobody there. That's what they even said.
Where do you think he got this meal from? Like, did he make it somewhere, or did he get Uber Eats to deliver?
Jimon Hansu is actually a really good cook.
There we go. Okay. Because he's obviously waiting off stage behind the curtains.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
And they have a whole kitchen setup.
He cooks a mean halibut. Nice. Nice little sauteed ratatouille or something. I don't know. but I really do. The sequence doesn't fully work for me until Kurt Russell for 15 seconds puts on those night vision goggles and starts
throwing down. Yeah.
Headshot.
Also, and when he turns around and is out of bullets and gets shot in the back, why does he wink?
Because that's he has the vibe, armor. I thought it was because he had armor on.
Yeah.
But the whole armor thing, which you just,
I thought he, you know, meant
thank,
that he
thank
actually...
you so much. Thank you so much for this gift. I will try
welcome.
It on later.
Okay. Thank you. Keep trying on now.
Okay.
Theater of the mind.
Oh, it's really tight.
I had to guess on your size. I guess you've gotten bigger. Maybe you got a little COVID body.
Yeah,
going
I put on.
On
some quarantine pounds. Okay. Well, now I feel very safe. I always got a podcast. You never know what's going to happen. You know, catch a stray bullet. But it's like, why wouldn't he be wearing they're going to bag a shadow.
Maybe it's because Brian and Dom are literally wearing t-shirts and everyone else is in tactical gear. And Dom brought a shotgun to a machine gun fight. Let's not forget. Which he only carries shotguns.
Weirdly great moment because Vin Diesel is able to communicate so much empathy with so little expression. Cause like you really do buy that. There are 16 people I care more than anybody else in this world. And when Kurt Russell is shot, because he apparently is like number 15 or whatever, Vin Diesel, when he pumps the shotgun and shoots the guy, you're just like all in. And when they're bringing him out there and you have that moment where you believe he's going to die. Is that where we're going to right now?
Yeah, sure.
The great like final words of the whole I got to tell you something and you don't want to hear it, but really got to try that Belgian ale, Dom.
A good moment.
It's
a good moment.
Prime Kurt Russell, right before Kurt Russell kind of had like his third wave, it feels, you know, right pre Hateful Eight and
this is 2015, so
yeah Santa Claus and freaking Guardians.
Yeah,
he
can grow that beard fast, can't he? He's clean shaven totally. In this movie, and the next time you see him he's like full beard.
He is full beard. He
beard in the Eight.
I'm If you're keeping up at home, we have our DBS, Death by Shaw. Do you consider these deaths by Shaw? Because Shaw does not specifically shoot anyone at the beginning, but at the end he does throw a grenade. And I think all these people, other than the three people we know, 12 came in because he says, you brought 12 people to get me. Oi, Governor, you brought 12 people to kill me. And then he has... three of them get away. So
crikey, you want 12 people to
so
kill
we know
me.
Nine more people die. So death by Shaw, are we gonna say that they were executed probably by they were not left alive?
I think so. Yeah, I think that's
so
that's
we have
on
to add nine more people. This is a character who next movie will be best friends with the gang. And he has killed upwards of now 30 people.
He's killed more people than Jack the Ripper.
He has
he's already he's probably killed more people than Ed Gein by the course
we're
of this run.
30 time. We're at 30 asterisks because
okay you
that we know of yeah
my well I'll mute my mic. Let me look up how many people Ed Gein has killed.
You don't have to mute your mic. We want to hear the
hear that keyboard.
You
want to
hear the clickety clacks? Okay.
And hear the
I've done it multiple times already.
Okay.
Just type gently. But yes, it is
10 women, but ultimately two murders.
See, that's nothing.
Cause apparently, he dug up like bodies. So
he dug them up and killed them again. That doesn't
count,
he
didn't skin anybody, but I think once you like fucking times the murder count by Ed Gein to 15, I think it counts as like on the same level. But yeah, this sequence is really great. And then it sort of leads into the going back to basics, sort of back to home thing that, Skyfall did. A lot of these movies were.
Here's another question. Yeah. You find out where he is using God's eye. And then what's the one thing you shouldn't do? Take God's eye with you. Take it with you on a tablet so that when you die brutally, they can take it off your carcass. Why would you take it right there? Why would you take it? You know where they are. Also, why didn't you show up in helicopters so that maybe the person with the tablet could have stayed on the helicopter and be like, all right, you guys go on. I've got God's eye. We're all good. He's still here.
No. Yeah. They didn't do it that well.
Why? When you're searching, you're like, you know what? Remember that guy, that warlord guy? We should see where he is before we go in there. Oh, wait, he's in the same place.
We have God's eye. We can figure it out.
I guess we sort of obliquely mentioned it. Obviously, Mr. Nobody, he managed to get like only one shot into him. The moment they're like, yeah, we need to rush you over to a hospital, he's like, I already called medical attention. Like, he's immediately on
here's
the
what
level.
Makes no sense about that entire scene. Why did you go to Abu Dhabi when you let second unit extras shoot all of those exterior shots? That's not them putting Mr. Nobody on the side of the road. If it was them, they wouldn't shoot it from 900 feet away. They shoot it from 900 feet away. And when they come back in, I'm like, well, that's a set or a green screen. And then they come back out. I'm like, well, that's somebody there. And then they come back. I'm like, well, that's a set. Why couldn't you just shoot it there?
Well, one of them is Brian, right? Brian is one of the guys in that scene.
Yes. We know why Brian's not Brian. But
it could have been.
Diesel either. And that's not Kurt Russell because we never see their faces. They're so far away. They're shooting it from so far away.
Maybe they're just like, well, Paul Walker has passed away at this point in filming.
And they just went out in the desert and shot that in California?
Probably, right? Like, they're just like, we need to get a pick of this happening.
There you go. Do you think they killed Mr. Nobody? And then when Brian died, they're like, let's keep him around?
Probably.
Maybe.
Because we could use him in a next movie because now we need kind of a thing.
An FBI sort of.
Yeah, we have no FBI connection.
We need a government heavy. I mean,
we need a way to bring Scott Eastwood into this.
We need a way to bring that human wallpaper, Scott Eastwood, into the movie.
You're never going to be like me. Doesn't matter how many chairs you talk to, you're never going to be like me, Sonny. Obama was a better actor than you.
Isn't it wild that Clint Eastwood did that chair thing like 10 years, like 12 years ago? It was like before 2010, I'm pretty sure, right? Or was
yeah,
it 2012?
Still getting dinged for it.
No, but I'm shocked that he didn't die of a stroke after that, like the night of that happened. He's still making movies.
I keep making movies later. I'm old and where we make sure we put it on the nose that I'm extremely old.
Well, you gotta hang a lantern on that when you're that old.
But they all go back to LA and we get sort of like a hero shot out of nowhere.
They're like, if we're going to do this, let's do this where we know best. And I'm like, what? You just went from Abu Dhabi back to LA? Really?
Well, they took a note from Ghost Protocol. Then they take a note from Skyfall. It's like, let's bring him back to our place. I'm surprised they didn't set like Home Alone style traps with.
I wanted was Tej or Roman to go, I'm exhausted from that 3-day flight. Where we came back from Abu Dhabi.
Red eye.
I've been up for 38 hours.
They pitch a plan to sort of do like a hot potato with cars in a way to protect Ramsey and then also, lead Deckard.
Gotta hack the hack. They're going to hack the hack.
Yep.
You're going to walk the walk. You got to hack the hack.
We also got to mention this is like, we can totally tell that Paul Walker is just
Paul
not
Walker
in
is not there.
Shot.
Everything yeah. he says.
After we get that phone call, which happens around now, where he calls Mia, and it's very.
Was that for this movie? Or was that something from.
Yes, that's definitely for this movie. Okay. I know that was shot.
Which is crazy because that seems like it would have been written after he died.
But you know what I think it is? I think they half wrote it. I think they wrote all of Mia's lines because there's no reaction.
They must have changed
what
she said. Yeah. To make it more.
He never mentions the twins directly to her and he doesn't address the
twins. This is the Leia scene. This is where they're like, okay, here's what we've got. We got a one-sided conversation so we can basically do what we want.
They certainly had the tuna fish sandwich line.
Yeah.
Like that was definitely in the script, but everything else, you know.
Yeah, they added a lot for Jordana Brewster, I think.
And, I mean, you know, she was expounding a lot. She's like, oh, by the way, Brian, just in case you were wondering.
In one of the first scenes of the movie, you have a CGI shot of Paul Walker putting the kid in the car while Dom and her are talking. So it's clear that the twin element of the plot was added in post.
Yeah. But I have to admit, this phone call scene, I teared up.
Yeah,
it got me.
And you don't even know what's coming yet. You don't know. There's a long getting there. You didn't even know that was coming.
At this point, you're like, Juan has a pretty deft touch with this. This doesn't feel, you know, it's definitely playing with the heartstrings, but it doesn't feel too manipulative.
And also, I wrote in my notes, Mia's in this movie.
Yeah,
because I was like,
so long.
I was like, wow, I totally forgot that she's in this movie.
I bet you she was like just a cameo in the beginning until Paul Walker passed.
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
I mean, she's useless. She's never been part of the team. I mean, she was part of the team at the beginning. And actually, she wasn't. She wasn't part of the team. Excuse me. She didn't like go and hike VCRs. She just knew about it.
I will say this
Fast Five, she had some stuff. She like drove some cars in Fast Five.
Yeah. Definitely. And she also had her whole, like, you know, over the radio. She's one of the more effective members of the team.
I think we lost something. And I think this is what Michelle Rodriguez was talking about when she said she wanted better written characters in these movies. I think what happened to her and to Mia in at least 5, 6, and 7, it's not great. They are sidelined. 8, completely different.
They lost Giselle, who was probably the strongest female character up to that point.
I think Giselle was part of that.
We have Giselle now. And she's kind of a hot, fresh thing. So like we don't need Jordana Brewster.
I have to bring up the next sequence because you get like a sort of like Robert Rodriguez gearing up sequence where you have them all going through there. That sequence is actually in the movie Death Sentence. There's an entire sequence where Kevin Bacon is going to his garage and like sawing off shotguns, even has the same bandages on there. He shaved his head, everything. It's pretty much the same sequence.
Can we break that down real quick? So his house blew up. Garage is fine.
Yep.
That's fine. I can live with that. That actually, I'm fine with that part of it. So Dom, did you go buy a new gun, a new rifle, a shotgun, and then cut it down? I would think Dom Toretto would have 5 sawed-off shotguns already in his home, like ready to go.
For each room.
Yeah. He's like a scented candle kind of guy with sawed-off shotguns. Every room has its own thing. Like he's got that one that's cool that flips. You know, you can flip it in your hand and it cocks itself, which no one can do. You'll just shoot yourself in the chest. But the point is, I was like, okay, Dom, you're not – okay, you're a car guy. You're supposed to be making something, so you're making your gun at this point. I'm like, all right, because your charger's already ready to go. This is the unveiling of the pristine Black God charger.
Yeah, he pulls the thing off the car, and the guitar just goes.
And yet another thing of, we did not see him buy this, so he had to have built it again from scratch. So he must have taken the one that he destroyed.
Yeah, this isn't the one he got from his dad anymore. This is a new car. It has to be.
You think so? You don't think it's got some of the same guts? I mean, like,
well, I guess it's that question of like if you replace,
and by guts I mean his dad's carcass is probably
if he opens the hood and like his dad's skull is like right on top of the engine.
Hell yeah.
Like it's built out of his dad's skeleton.
Mm-hmm. Like the the steering wheel is like arm and finger bones.
It's like a car from anyway. Like
on some
car.
Mad Max shit. But then, after this, we start getting into the whole hot potato sequence. Mm-hmm. It's sort of just, you know, drive around, throw people from car to car.
You have to play keep away with Ramsey.
Yeah. I want to talk about the Ramsey handoff. Ramsey. The Ramsey handoff is badass.
That's pretty good. Yes. That is really
it's
cool.
It's impossible. Physics.
It's in freaking sanity.
Yeah. We all know physics don't work anymore since the last movie. When Dom jumped out of his car and caught Letty, physics have gone out the window. No more physics. So she jumps out to Tej from a moving car that are both spinning and doing like, I don't even know what that movie called.
All well, a robot drone pursues them.
Yes.
Yes.
And then all the meanwhile, we're seeing Hobbs watch it on security, or not security cam footage,
on the news.
News footage while he's watching his highlights from his football career.
Yeah, and he keeps putting in that little Bluetooth headset just for a second to get an update, and he like throws it down. It's like, you know, you could just keep the headset in. He's probably going to move around the city.
And then we get one of the great cinematic lines up there with, you're going to need a bigger boat. Here's looking at you, kid. We get daddy's got to go to work as The Rock flexes out of his now, full arm cast.
This is not in the extended, the version I saw yet. It's not there yet.
Okay.
Oh, really?
This is just in the extended for me. And then it goes into the street.
So in your version, it happens later.
Yes. It's about to happen because his nemesis, the drone, has just shown up. So let's talk about it a little bit. Are we sure? Did you see it in this version, Murren?
Yeah, on my physical media.
All right. Ugh.
Same.
I'm going to.
Nice.
I'm scrubbing. I'm scrubbing.
Physical media.
We can talk about it.
Yeah, it came. He flexes out of his cast. Daddy's got to go to work. I really like the introduction of his daughter in this movie. I don't know if we've talked about her too much.
No, we really haven't.
Yeah. It's I think it softens his character a lot because he was real hard ass in Fast Five and Six. And he's kind of just like military guy. Just, you know,
he's also business. Less oily in this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still wearing a lot of baby oil, but not as much.
I think it's going more and more towards like who The Rock is in real life, which is like most of what he does in his movies is just kind of like him.
He has whittled down the Hobbs character.
Yeah. Yeah.
The
goatee isn't as extreme.
The Rock and the tumbler and it eventually becomes a softer
person. Daddy needs to go to work is the line that literally everyone in the theater was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is the way how it was advertised. We did not know he had a daughter. So we thought he was referring to his muscles as daddy.
Instead of being an actual daddy,
he's talking to his muscles. He is daddy. He's like, okay, muscles, daddy's got to go to work.
And then we get round two with Jason Statham and Vin Diesel, where they're playing chicken again. The car goes up, and then they shoot at each other from underneath.
Does a wheelie from Fast and Furious. I think he did that.
Yes, yeah, and then he shoots out of the bottom, which is cool. And then they both get out of their car, and this is at least where my version ended, where Vin Diesel says, "You wanted a street race." That's it.
I didn't hear him say that, so I was like, "Okay, that's fine." We're at the
Cut off for me.
It works because it's at the beginning of the end. This is the beginning of the last fight.
Yeah,
you say that like it worked for me. To me, it was a cock tease.
Oh yeah, but now we're about to get into your favorite part, which you can't be on. This is the end of your least favorite chunk.
Yeah, the succinct portion where you're in tears by the end of it. But hey, I'm glad to have been on. Yeah.
Look, second place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do better next time.
Third place, hiatus ends.
If you're not first, you're second.
I'm certainly not first, so I'm definitely second.
Still gets a medal. What's weird for me is like I was watching this and I was like, how is there another quarter of this movie left? Like, what else happens?
Yeah, in my mind, I'm like, The Rock has to fight a plane. Rock fights a plane and a helicopter. Yeah.
Vin Diesel and Jason Statham have a pretty long fight.
They basically destroy. Well, they don't destroy. Something hits and blows up the parking garage.
They destroy a parking structure.
Okay, they destroy a parking structure.
Yeah, and then the loving send off.
Yes,
but
yeah.
I'm glad to be on the portion of this movie that I like the least. Thank you guys for
fun to talk about. For
we
sure,
we didn't get to the part that Nathan loves stuff. The best when she can't remember her last name and she's like, "What's your name?" He's like, Letty, and she looks over and there's a force ghost of Dom, and she's like, "Letty Toretto," and the movie swells and it ends. Ah, such a good ending.
Oh my gosh! I mean,
well, it looks like you're on your own, Letty. Maybe Letty Solo.
Mm-hmm. Letty Solo.
So wait, she's married to Han.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, yeah. That's
justice for Han.
Justice for Han
comes.
All right. Well, let's wrap this up. I know Nathan's got a heart out, so let's do this real quick, Nathan. What are you looking forward to the most in 9? Like, quickly, just distill, like, what bonkers, cool... Well, one, you get Han.
Oh, God, there's 3 things. Can I say 3?
Yeah.
Is that fair? Okay. So Han without a doubt, my favorite character.
Yeah.
Second thing is the return of Justin Lin. I watched that car stunts reel and I was like, holy shit.
And the return of Lucas
Black. I think he's like, you're talking about how like Justin Lin is a little more grounded than James Wan, but it seems like he's taken what James Wan laid out here and in F8 as well and been like, okay, well, we need to still up this.
Everyone ups the ante. And then the last thing that I'm looking forward to the most is possible space travel. And then I guess to
at
go
least
into
suborbital. I will be okay if they break the confines.
They're going low orbit. Okay, yeah. Here's my prediction past this point before I leave. So the ending of the movie, you're going to have Cypher like leave to a base on like the moon or something.
Or, like, yeah,
oh yeah. Or something. And then you're going to have John Cena join the team by the end, and they're like, all right, I know where Cypher's headed. And then that's your setup for the next one. They're finally like, Charlize Theron is the big bad of the whole series. And then they take out Cypher in the next one. They go, since they said they're having 11. Okay, so 10, they take out Cypher, they go back to Earth, and I know they've been talking about this like tangentially, and every time they ask, like, I don't know who, Chris Morgan, the screenwriter, they're like, are you guys thinking about possibly doing a Jurassic Park crossover? So the events of Jurassic, get this, the events of Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom happen. So the world is all dinosaurs at this point. Or Dominion, whatever.
So
the
whole happens, world is that happens while they're in space,
yes.
And then when they come back, it's
okay. A la Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
If you're going to do this, why not have this series reboot the Dark Universe and just have the mummy stuff?
Get this. So then they get down there, and they're like, oh my God, what's going on? And the last people who are talking are like, probably some fucking asshole characters from Jurassic World. I'm not a big fan of that franchise. And you have like Chris Pratt being like, There's some dinos, but I know exactly what time you can go back to do this. We have a time machine. And then the next one is an Endgame style heist to stop Dr. Hammond from creating the dinosaurs in the first Jurassic Park. I
was going to say
the
that
family go back in time and walk into scenes from the Spielberg classic 1993 film Jurassic.
Nathan, I think you're going to be in second place again on these ideas.
I was
going
to say the one thing you need there is to have Vin Diesel drive around the world so fast that he goes back in time.
Yes!
Or he just picks it up and wings it back the other way.
Yes.
The Rock and Vin Diesel push the world back in time.
They stick their hands in the world and just start pushing that way. Yeah.
Lucas Black also gets killed in the time travel process.
Oh, but no, Lucas Black should die in 9. I hope he gets blown up in 9. I hope he's standing behind that rocket when it starts. He's like, oh man, my face, my hair.
Is my dad. Can I answer this?
Yes. Answer it on. It better be about your birthday. Put it on speaker.
Hello?
We can't hear.
Hello? Can you hear me?
I hear you. Yeah.
Hi, dad. You're on the, I'm recording a podcast right now. So you're on the podcast.
Okay. Well, happy birthday, and you can continue your podcast.
Okay. How do you think Fast and Furious 9 should go?
Say that again.
How do you think the ninth Fast and Furious movie should happen? What should happen in the movie? What are you looking forward to?
Oh, I really am too ignorant to say. I just don't even know the series.
You don't know the series. Okay.
Nathan should have said the same thing, but instead he came up with this fakakta thing about Jurassic Park. He should have just said, I'm too ignorant to know.
Yeah, you can't hear what other people are saying because I have my headphones on. But thanks for calling, Dad, and I'll call you back.
I love you.
Okay?
I love you, Dad.
I love you. I'm being prompted here.
I don't have friends, Dad. I have family.
I don't have friends. I have family. I'll talk to you a little bit. Okay, bye.
Yeah, I'm at the point where I'm about to part ways along with your father. I'm reaching the fork in the road, and then I'm theoretically going to heaven at this point. But
God, wait, what are you doing? Right. You're killing everyone. No,
I'm sorry.
Fine.
Hey, whether I'm a quarter movie away or halfway around the world, we'll always be with you guys. Because
yeah,
we're
it's
brothers.
Been great. Thank you, Nathan, for being on.
Yeah,
go listen to Mission Impossible. Go listen to Mission Impossible.
Go listen to Mission Impossible. You find us on Twitter at Impossible. IMPODIBLE. And
good
then
luck
my Twitter is at Nathan Flynn. So there y'all go. Thanks for having me, family.
Thanks, family.
Family.
I'm going to leave right now.
Bow. All right. He literally left. He left the recording.
He bounced. He dropped the mic.
Wow, we did. So we never actually got to have our true three-person podcast because your dad ruined it. Because he showed up.
Yeah, technically a fourth person. I don't know how much of my mic picked that up, but we'll find out.
I heard it. I heard
you
it.
Heard it? Okay.
You're going to make me go in and actually edit that part, so I augment his voice. I will augment it. You can hear it enough. I can hear him. He's like, very nice guy. Like, well, yeah. I'm just too ignorant to know anything about it, so I'm not going to say anything.
I feel like, kind of bad. I'm going to apologize to him for pimping him out like that.
He seems like a nice guy.
He's really nice. Yeah. I feel like maybe I have to go through the series with him.
I can't believe Murren told me he doesn't have any friends. I've met some of his friends.
He had no idea what I was talking about. And he also realized like he couldn't hear what you and Nathan were saying.
Yeah. That's the best part. Well, this has been a great episode. Happy birthday. Yeah,
thank you.
One last gift. Why don't you open that up?
Okay. Oh.
It's a statue of me. Nude.
Oh, great. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but thank you.
Well, it's family. So I thought it was finally time you saw that.
Yeah. Now we're truly family.
Yep. I had to get that scanned in. That was special.
Is it you got a 3D printer?
Mm-hmm. I had to get a lot of extra stuff for that.
Did you have to do like a full body mold where you just like were you had to like stand
they
perfectly still?
They stuck straws in my nose for like 2 hours while I lay perfectly still in a sarcophagus made of latex.
Okay. Did you have a straw so you could like pee too?
No, I just peed into the latex. So some of that, what you have there is pee. It's human urine.
Well, no, because the cast, smell you it. Didn't give me the so cast. It, you gave me the mold.
It is the cast of the Furious. That is, that's
the
what
cast.
I.
So you're Furious.
Yes.
I'm cast.
Yes.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Yes. Okay. So, well, we did yet another one. We will do another one next week and it will be seamless as usual.
As usual. We know how to do these. We're experts now.
Murren, thank you again for your time and on your birthday.
Thank you. That was a good way to spend my birthday afternoon.
Because you don't have any friends.
I just have family.
Just have freaking family now. No friends frickin' whatsoever.
Family.
All right. Well, good.
Okay.
Pedal the metal.
Ride or die.
Ride or
it's
die.
It's been a long day.
Yeah, it's been a long day. See ya.
Getting from there to here. Okay, bye.
Somebody's got a birthday today. I wonder who it is. Let's sing together and celebrate. Have a hip-hop happy birthday. Have a hip-hop happy birthday. With miles and smiles and lots of love on this special day. Have a hip-hop happy birthday. It's birthday. Hip-hop, raise your hands high.
It's been a long day without you, my friend. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again.